Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
We wrapped up last week with our seven realities of experiencing God. It was obedience, obey and experience God. Pastor Jazz did a great job tying it into Generosity Sunday. Very grateful for his message. Definitely helped me a lot. And what we're going to do now as we transition into summertime, we are going to talk about what it means to experience God together. And we know the summer is a great time to be able to fellowship with one another. And now that things are becoming more safe to meet in person, we want to be able to figure out what it looks like to build new relationships or strengthen the relationships that we do have or rebuild some of the relationships that maybe we experienced some distance in during the pandemic. Now, in order to do that, we have to look at God's word and understand what that's going to look like and what it's going to take from us, right? And so the reality is that even though we live in a very individualistic society, you know, our soul yearns for community. And even though many times we even read the scriptures with a very individualistic perspective, like what does this mean for me? A lot of the scriptures are written to address community. And while we will be judged individually, right, for the things that we do, we also see in the scriptures that that's not always the case. And what I mean by that is that even in the Old Testament, you see that God spoke to them and addressed the community, God's people, and either punished them or blessed them together, right? And each other's actions would affect the consequences that they had to face. Even in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, we see Jesus writing letters to spiritual communities, addressing them, evaluating them together, these local congregations. And so the other cool thing that you see in scriptures is, especially in the book of Acts, you see whole households becoming disciples together. Once one person, many times the patriarch of the family, decided to make Jesus Lord, everybody else followed. So as we start this discussion about what it means to experience God together, I think we should start with the most intimate relationship that God designed, the marriage relationship between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, because it's from a healthy marriage that we build healthy families. And as we build healthy families, we build healthy churches. As we build healthy churches, we're able to help build healthy communities, and that leads us to healthy towns and healthy cities, so on and so forth, right? So let's talk a little bit about what it means to experience God as couples, okay? Experience God as couples. You know, one of the most fulfilling and satisfying roles that I get to partake in as a pastor is to be able to officiate weddings. And actually, the first wedding I ever officiated was for Ray and Jordan Edwards. It was a moment I personally will never forget and will always be grateful for. And I have just grown to love those times when I get to be there with the bride and the groom. And I get to witness history in the making, and I get to be used by God to bring this couple together as one before him and to celebrate together. It is just an honor and a privilege. And there's some perks to it as well, because, you know, I'm up there and I get to see, especially when it's my friends or family that are walking down the aisle, the groom, you know, be able to see his bride walk down the aisle and experience that with him. I get to see my daughters come down the aisle, right? Whether they're flower girls or whether they are, Layla was just a junior bridesmaid in Ramon and Lexi's wedding. And so I'm seeing her walk down and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like, you know, as I'm starting to leak here, thinking about the day she'll walk down as a bride herself. I get to see my bride, my wife, walk down when she's a bridesmaid, and it reminds me of our own wedding day. So it's just a fun time. And as I'm up there, I mean, I get to really experience the energy that this couple has together. So it's just an awesome, awesome time. And, you know, what I've realized over the years is that when God brings a bride and a groom together in marriage, he does it for a reason. It's not just so that we can be happy, right? I believe it's deeper. I believe it's so we can be holy, so we can become more and more like Christ and be able to reflect his glory in a stronger and more powerful way. As it says in Ecclesiastes 4, that two are better than one, and they have more of a return on their investment. And so as couples, we should be better together for God, and we should have a greater impact together. And I believe that's why God brings couples together. Do we experience happiness and fulfillment along the way? Yes, of course we do. And that's the blessing of it all. But that's not the ultimate aim, because it's not just always happy and fulfilling. There are challenging times. But we do get that, and that really is a fruit of faithfulness to God and to our spouse. Now, here's the thing. Just because you're Christians and just because you get married doesn't mean that you're experiencing God together. And so, even for single people that are watching, I hope you're tuned in. I hope you're paying attention, because I think this can really give you a great perspective as to what you want to be a part of as you move into this next phase of your life, for those of you who want to get married, right? Here's what I've witnessed, that sometimes married people can be like just two individual people, two single people living together, roommates with benefits, right? But that's not what God wants ultimately for us as couples. Now, here's the thing, because they're not yet united in their spiritual lives and their spiritual endeavors and aspirations. Sometimes they're even great disciples individually, but they're not connecting together spiritually. And so individually, they may be having some great times with God, these aha moments, getting, you know, hearing from God, seeing prayers get answered, telling their friends about their relationship with God, or even sharing like good news in small group. And sometimes their spouse is like, when did that happen? Like, they didn't even know. Like, that's the first time they've heard it. Sometimes they're great individually at helping people, and but they rarely talk about who they're helping together, much less like try to engage their spouse to help the people that maybe have the spouse themselves. If they're married, they can be serving in the church, and one person can be great at doing this, another great at doing that, but with no dreams about how they want to contribute to the vision and mission of the church together now, or even in the long term. So what we see is, in the midst of trying to do the right thing, in the midst of trying to keep the marriage together, in the midst of trying to keep the household together, making sure the bills are paid, making sure that the kids are fed and well-behaved, making sure that the financial issues are taken care of, marriage can feel more like two people in a business relationship than in the most, what should be the most intimate spiritual relationship of our lives. But I believe that, you know, one of the ways that the world could see Christ most clearly is through this intimate spiritual relationship between a man and a woman in marriage. And today I want to give you four ways that you can experience God as a couple, so that you're not just roommates with benefits, or you're not just running a business or an organization together, but you're really experiencing God and his blessings together. So Number one is this. 1 + 1 = 1? Yeah, that's the irony of it all. 2 become 1. So 1 + 1 = 1. We have to know that in God's eyes, we are one. But we also understand that we're becoming one, that it takes work to become one. So really, it's not addition, but it's subtraction. And usually we have to give up about half of ourselves to become one. 0.5 and 0.5 become one, right? But how do we do that practically? I think it means, first of all, that we both individually do have to have a vibrant relationship with God. And then it means that we're communicating about that to each other. As we sense the Holy Spirit speaking to us or leading us in one way or another, we got to also be eager to share those things with our spouse, to run it by, to get their input, and to trust the Spirit in them as well. Valuing the Spirit in us over the Spirit in me. Because we are one. Now, here's the thing. When one of us decides that we want to respond to the Spirit of God moving and working in our lives, calling us, right, inviting us to his work, then we have to make sure that we are talking about that with our spouse. So to make sure that we are going to understand, we're going to fully support each other in this realm, because if one person moves forward with something that God is calling them to do, that's going to affect the other person as well. There will be times where you move together as a couple and you take something on together, and there will be times where one person decides to change jobs or to go back to school or to serve in this capacity, and the other person is, they're not going to be doing that, right? But they will have to support the spouse in doing that. So it's not just the man wants to do. Hey, I'm going to do this. God called me to do this. And so the woman, she got to follow. Come on, woman, let's go. This is where God is calling me. No, we should both be experiencing God. We should both feel called by God and moved by him to serve him. So it's so important that both of us are thinking about, man, how can we do this together? And what is that going to look like? So we have to discern God's will together, and we both have to be convinced about what God's will is for our lives and the direction that we choose together. That's called compromise, right? And too many times I feel like as couples, we just leave stuff out there in the air. So it's just up in the air. We never really come to a conclusion about what we're going to do moving forward or how we're going to address the situation in the future. We just kind of go our own ways and we just keep functioning, as opposed to truly being united in the direction that God wants to take us. Because here's the thing. Once we move forward and experience God together, once we move forward in his calling and be aligned with his work and his purpose for our lives, we can't blame each other when things don't go the way we want them to go. We actually have to say, no, we're in this together. And if this doesn't go the way we wanted to go, then we still knew we acted on faith. Now, for us as a family, we've gone through these times where certain decisions had to be made, and we felt like God was calling us in a certain direction. One of those times is when we were looking to move, right, to buy a new home in a different part of town. And we really had to pray about and get advice about and ask for God's discernment in regards to where we're going to move, how much we're going to spend, what community, what school system, all of that stuff. And we had to make sure that what we were doing was following God's Spirit and his will, and not just our preferences and not just for our comfort. And so even as we moved from the SWAT Southwest Atlanta and we moved into the suburbs, it wasn't simply for a better school system, right? It wasn't simply for, because this was a presumably safer part of town, or it felt safer, right? It was because God was calling us there for a reason. And we needed that. We needed that perspective, because if it didn't go our way, then we wanted to make sure that we were still going to be united. Here's what I've seen that in my life when it comes to couples experiencing God together. Either some people set aside their God-given assignments because the spouse wasn't interested. And so they miss out, and even the spouse misses out on seeing their husband or wife really flourish in this area in their relationship with God because their spouse wasn't there, and so they just give it up. Or some people, instead of pushing aside their God-given assignment, sometimes people push aside their spouse for their God-given assignment. And they say, well, I'm going to move forward, and you can come or if you want to or not. And that's neither of those are right before God. You know, I love what Blackaby says in his book, Experiencing God. This is what he asked his girlfriend when he wanted to her to be his wife. He asked her, what has God told you he intends to do through your life? What promises have you made to God? If I marry you, I promise to spend the rest of my life helping you keep your promises that you made to God. Now, that's a vow for you, right? Whatever God has called you to do, whatever God has put on your heart, I want to be there to support you in doing that. And let's talk about how that's going to work with us and for us as a family. Because the truth is we can't do everything at once, right? We have to, there are seasons of life for a reason. And too many times we just want everything now. We want a great job, a great family. We want great to travel different places. We want great kids all at one time. And that's just not the way it works. It's not healthy and it's unattainable. But here's my question to you. Do you know what commitments your spouse has made to God? Are you aware of their spiritual pilgrimage? Do you have a sense of where God is presently leading your spouse? And how have you helped your partner to respond to God's activity and obey his will? Because we got to do this together. One plus one equals one. Okay? All right. So number two, we have to agree in prayer. We have to agree in prayer. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, Jesus says, again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. I remember my wife came across that scripture and it just clicked for us. Like, we always have to. We have at least two in the house. There's two disciples. Me and Christina, the husband and the wife, we always have to. So can we make sure we agree together in prayer? And so we'll say that. I mean, we'll constantly say that. Hey, honey, I'm praying about this. Do we agree about that? Yes. And we've seen God answer so many prayers. And I think some of it is that we've agreed on. It's this scripture where we've agreed together. But not only do we have two that agree, you know, we ask our kids to agree with us in prayer, right? I think sometimes God listens to the children even more than us. So not only do we have two that agree in prayer, we have four that agree in prayer. You know, one of the coolest times is when we were actually going back to figuring out where we were going to move. And we thought this house that we found was our house. I mean, we pulled up and the seller's agent, their name was on the sign, on the real estate sign in the yard, and it was Maldonado. We're like, oh my goodness, this is it. Had everything. We needed a big backyard, everything we wanted. We're like, man, this is it. And it did not happen. But Layla prayed, God, we pray that you will give this house to whoever you wanted to give it to. And whoever gets this house, we pray that they will have great memories. And we was praying for those people that were going to get the house. And we're like, oh, we were so convicted, but we had to align our hearts to agree with her in prayer because that was the right thing to pray. That was more according to God's will than our will that we wanted. And it worked out because God gave us immeasurably more than we could ask for or imagine. And we're at the place where he wants us to be. And we are on mission in our neighborhood and we're able to see God continue to work. So we got to make sure that we agree in prayer. And as we are asking God to make our path clear, we're asking him to lead us and to guide us. I think it's important to sometimes just wait. You know, as you're praying, wait. Like, we don't have to rush these decisions. Sometimes we don't like to wait, and so we will move forward even when God is not telling us it's time to move forward. And so sometimes we have to wait together while we agree in prayer, okay? Number three, serve God and make disciples together. Serve, give, and make disciples together, okay? There are things that we do together, and then there are things we do together. So what do I mean by that? There's areas, ways that we serve that it is, we do it together as a team. My wife and I work together on staff, right? For the church. And so there's a working relationship there. We have to do that together. But there are things that we do that are separate, but it's still together. So even as I moved into serving with Fellowship of Christian Athletes, it wasn't just my thing. We counted the cost together, but she came, my wife would come, and she would bring the kids, and we would serve the athletes together. We would come and bring them ice cream after the devotionals that we did with them. They would come and cheer them on, right? As I was ministering to and building relationships with the coaches, she's ministering to and building relationships with their wives. And so we weren't doing it together per se. She wasn't there every week, day in and day out, but we were doing it together. And so it's important to serve together, to be able to give together. You know, we just had our Generosity Sunday. Sometimes couples have their own bank accounts and they give separate contribution and tithes and they don't even know what each other gives. And, you know, my advice is, man, it's just so much more powerful when you can be praying about what we're going to give together, setting some financial goals, some giving goals together, because two are better than one. And if we agree in prayer, God will bless that request, as it says in the scripture we just read in Matthew. So serve, give, and make disciples together. As we talked about, man, our disciples, the families of disciples should be such a bright light. It should attract people to us that are searching for God. And they may not know they're searching for God. They may just be searching for something better than their situation right now. And they should see our lives, and not that we're perfect, but that even in our challenging times, we're working through it with God and His Spirit in a way that's different from the world. And I think it's important for us as couples to be real about, man, what we go through. So celebrate the victories together. Be real about the way God is blessing us. Boast in the Lord, but also be honest about the times that we struggle and what we're working through. And that helps other couples and other people be able to see, okay, boom, that's a more realistic thing that I can connect to, because either we're going through it or I know I'm going to go through it one day. So we should be striving to make disciples together. Are you praying for people together? Are there other people, coworkers, or other married couples, people in the neighborhood that you're praying about together? Are you talking things through as to the plan of action to help make some of these disciples? It's going to be important as you have children. If you have children, you got to be able to talk through, well, who's going to take care of these kids so that mommy can go and spend some time with this other woman that's searching for God? And so husbands, we got to be ready and available to support the mission that God has given our wives and say, okay, I'll take the kids so you can go do what you need to do for God and go help make disciples. Or we're going to have a couple over, kids, y'all going to watch a movie, or you're going to go upstairs and go to bed and we'll do it after they go to bed, whatever it may be. But we have to come up with a plan together so that we can make disciples together. That's when we get to experience God together. I mean, when you're in it with your spouse and you're praying for somebody and you're sacrificing and you're calling out to God, and then you see that person or that couple change and you know you're in it together, it is so satisfying and so rewarding. On the other end, when it's just one person that's going out and being about the mission, it can be a challenge in the household. I think it's so important even for our children to be able to see that this, hey, mommy and daddy are united on this. We're about making disciples and making disciple makers. That's why we're getting with so-and-so. That's why we're going to ask you to love up on this family's children, right? And make friends as well, because we're in this thing together, right? Lastly, number four, celebrate together. Celebrate together. I want to read Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 7 through 10 in the Message version. It says this: seize life. Eat bread with gusto. Bread. Eat them carbs with gusto. Drink wine with a robust heart. Oh, yes. God takes pleasure in your pleasure. Dress festively every morning. Don't skimp on colors and scars. Relish life with the spouse you love. Each and every day of your precious life. Each day is God's gift. It's all you get in exchange for the hard work of staying alive. Make the most of each one. Whatever turns up, grab it and do it and heartily. This is your last and only chance at it, for there's neither work to do nor thoughts to think in the company of the dead where you're most certainly headed. Yes, that's where we are all most certainly headed. So make sure you enjoy your life. And as we are connected with our spouse spiritually and we are experiencing God as a couple together, those moments can happen more often where we get to enjoy our life together and we get to celebrate what God is doing together as we serve, as we give, as we make disciples together, as we see our prayers being answered together. There's just so many more opportunities to celebrate what God is doing in our lives. So have fun. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your wife. Enjoy your husband. Make the most of the time that you have, because we know that time is short. We know that we won't always have it. Next time you look at your spouse, remember, what if this is the last day that you get to spend with them? What would you want to say to them? How would you want to go out? What would you want to do? Is there anything else on your bucket list? What else do you want to experience? Enjoy each other and experience God together. And that means we have to prioritize each other. We have to prioritize our spouse and make sure that we don't allow the worries of life, the responsibilities of life, even the hardships of life to steal our joy, because that's what Satan will do. Satan will use those things to take our joy and not allow us to celebrate. And even our perspective just gets so thwarted, right? It gets so messed up as we only see the bad things in each other, the negative things, how they get on our nerves or what they didn't do right, when really this is the most spiritual, intimate relationship that we should have and that we should enjoy. So as we talk about communion, as we talk about what Jesus did for us, let's celebrate that, right? That we know that it's through his death, burial, and resurrection that we get to enjoy our lives and our spouse, and we get to experience God together. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for loving us the way you do, for taking pleasure in our pleasure, God, for giving us pleasure through our spouse, where we get to experience you together, where we get to have happy times and feel that fulfillment along the way as we stay faithful to you and to our spouse, that we get not only a spiritual intimacy, but a physical intimacy and a physical pleasure that we get to enjoy from each other, Lord. And all that we have as disciples, we know that it comes from you and from you allowing Jesus to go to the cross to die for us. Thank you, God. We celebrate his death, his burial, and his resurrection today. God, we celebrate all that he went through, and we celebrate your power that we get to witness through our own salvation. The body that was broken, the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sin. Father, so that we can experience you, and so we can experience you together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.